1 Kings 3 may look like a strange place to consider a Mother's Day message. It's a story that's noted for something else. It's a true story in the life of King Solomon, who wanted wisdom. He asked God not for wealth, not for any of the things that people might ask for, but he asked for wisdom that he'd be able to rule his people well. And God gave him an opportunity to demonstrate that wisdom in 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning of verse 16. A familiar story to most of us. But I think it tells us about a real mother. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. Then there came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. When I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Now, obviously, this story is given to us to illustrate how God answered Solomon's prayer for wisdom, and how his fame, if you will, as a king and as a judge over these matters grew, and people were amazed at the wisdom of his judgment. But Solomon knew who was the real mother. And I think that as we look at this story, we can see some things that characterize a real mother as opposed to the phony one. But the truth is, as we look at these qualities that we'll see in the real mother, there are qualities that all of us really need in our lives. We men and the young people here will need this as well. And so I want you to think about this. Every person ought to follow the example of a real mother. And we're going to see three very significant things about this real mother. Let's pray together. Father, help us to understand your word and be willing to put it into practice in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you'd teach us important principles from this story. We know that these Old Testament scriptures are written for our admonition and for our learning. And I pray that we would see from this example what each of us ought to be spiritually. And I pray that you'd help us to be willing to make those decisions that we ought to make in light of what you will say to us today. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to notice this about the real mother. The first thing is, a real mother overcomes her flaws in order to fulfill her responsibilities. The very first thing we find about these mothers, verse 16, is both of them were harlots. You'd not think, if you want to find a great example of a good mother, You'd find that in a harlot. Though her story starts bad, it ends well. You know, the truth is, we are all sinners. Maybe not all are harlots, but we are all sinners. We all have what we try to excuse as flaws or little weaknesses, but those things that God calls sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But sometimes we minimize our flaws. We call them that. Little mistakes. But those sins that are in our lives often keep us from being what we ought to be and doing what we ought to do. We all came to this world with a nature that's prone to sin and do wrong. We don't have to teach our children how to do wrong. These mothers have not said to their little sons or daughters, "Now let me show you how to tell a lie, because you'll need to learn that." Okay. They didn't say to the little children, "Now it's time for you to learn how to be selfish with your toys and fight with your brother and sister." Okay. They didn't have to teach them that. That comes with a package. Okay. Nobody had to teach any of us to do wrong. Our parents spend all their time trying to undo what we were when we were born. You know, they try to fix what's wrong with us. They work hard to try to teach how to do right, because that doesn't come naturally. Doing wrong does come naturally. We are sinners. But sometimes we look at other people's sin, and it always looks bigger to us than our own sin. The big sins, the bad sins. These women were harlots. They were terrible, immoral people who rented their bodies out to men for temporary pleasure. And that was a terrible thing. But the truth is, there are sins of the flesh like these women were guilty of, and there are sins of the spirit that are sometimes a little more subtle. It might be anger, it might be jealousy, it might be gossip, something that we don't think is nearly so bad. But when you look at the Bible, God doesn't make those distinctions. There are not little sins and big sins. Even some religious groups have identified mortal sins and venial sins, but God says all have sinned, and it's all offensive to a holy God, and it infects every single one of us. And God wants us to admit this rather than to deny it or excuse it. Far too often we say, "Well, yes, I did wrong, but it's because somebody provoked me. It's his fault." No, if I did wrong, it's because I chose to do wrong. I could have chosen to do right. And no matter how someone may have provoked me, somebody else in history has survived a similar provocation without sinning. I chose to sin. Every time I've sinned, I've chosen to sin. It's nobody else's fault. I can't excuse my sin. There is no excuse for it. I can't deny that I've sinned. I can't say, "Well, it wasn't really a sin. It was just, you know, a misunderstanding." Okay, that sounds better. You know, it's a lot easier to spell sin than misunderstanding. You know that? And I think God made it really simple for us to face the truth, to face reality. God wants us not to deny that we're sinners, not to excuse away our sin, not to blame shift. He wants us to admit it. Jesus said, "I'm come not to call the righteous," that is those who think they're righteous, "but sinners unto repentance." He said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Jesus wants us to admit that we're lost, that we're sinners, that we need salvation. And then we turn to Him in simple faith, and He gives us forgiveness. God wants us to admit this, not to deny it. And the truth is, someone else's sins are not necessarily worse than yours. So when we think of these women, and they're characterized as harlots, and that's a bad thing, but understand, even though this woman had that terrible blotch on her past, that did not keep her from accepting the responsibility of a real mother in this story. See, the thing is, God can change us. The Bible is about change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We all started out sinners, but we don't have to end life as sinners. We started out under the condemnation of God. We can end with forgiveness. I'm thankful that God can change us. It starts with forgiveness, but then it continues with growth. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've done so, this whole process of change began that very moment. But it didn't end there. The changes continue as we grow in the Lord, as we get into the Word of God on a daily basis and let it change our thinking and our actions. And we grow and become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. God is changing us. We are not all what we once were. Thank God for that. And I think we see in this story that a real mother will not allow her past to ruin her children's future. You know, sometimes we can look back at the past and see some dark blotch in our own lives and say, there's nothing I can do for God because I'm such a bad person. She didn't do that. She said, in effect, God has forgiven me, and I'm going to accept the responsibility that I have as a mother, and I want to take good care of my baby boy. Oh, yes, it would have been a better story if there had been a husband involved, and if the husband and the wife together raised this son and took care of him. But the past can't be rewritten. But she can go from here and not let her past ruin her son's future. She'll raise her children alone if need be. The difficulty that she's going to have to face in this is not going to deter her from the responsibility of raising this child. So when I think about this real mother, the first thing that really impresses me is that she overcomes her flaws in order to fulfill her responsibility. But the second thing I see about her is that a real mother loves her child dearly. In verse 26 of this passage, it says, then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king. And then notice this phrase, for her bowels yearned upon her son. This word bowels, the Hebrew word that's translated here, is translated variously in the Old Testament. Mercy, compassion is a term for the mother's womb. Bowels, pity, tender love. 44 times, in fact, it has the idea of tender love. You know, we use one of our internal organs as a symbol of love. We say, my heart yearns for you, okay? Well, it might sound a little gross for us, but the Hebrew mind would say, my bowels yearn for you. But it means the same thing, okay? My innermost being has deep compassion for you. So her bowels yearned for her son. Now, here's the scenario. Two women, each had a son. One had her son in bed with her at night, and she probably rolled over on him and suffocated him, but he was dead in the morning or during the night. And so she swapped her dead baby with the living son of the other woman. And when the other woman woke up in the morning to feed her baby, she realized this baby's dead. And as she looked, and you understand these babies are only 3 days apart in age, but she still knew which one was hers. I can't tell them apart at that age. You know, they all look pretty much the same to me, but not to a mother. Okay, and she realized it was not her son. And now they go before the king. He's to decide which mother gets the son. And when the king says, well, the only solution, since I don't know which one it is, the only solution is cut the baby in half, give each one half. The other mother was willing to go along with that, but not the real mother. See, the real mother loves her child dearly. She had this enormous yearning for him, even to the point that she was willing to give him up in order to spare him. You know, the pretend mother loves herself. She wants to have a little baby doll to play with. You know, sometimes teenage girls grow up and from the time they were little girls, they were playing mommy and they had doll babies. And they sort of get the idea that having a baby is will give them a little doll to play with for a while. It's not what motherhood's all about. The pretend mother didn't want the responsibility. She wanted a baby doll to play with. And she was fully willing to have that baby doll cut in half, because she didn't really love that baby boy. A real mother loves. A real mother loves her child dearly. The pretend mother doesn't want to accept the complex difficulties that are connected with motherhood. It is more than a full-time job. And it's amazing to me how many mothers not only accept that full-time job, but other full-time jobs too, and do so much more on top of that, and still find time to serve the Lord in the local church. It's incredible to me. I could not do all of that. But a real mother will accept all of those things because of how dearly she loves her child. Isn't it sad to see children grow up and turn their backs upon their parents? Or to see children speak disrespectfully to their parents? I remember a time when I was in high school, I thought I was a pretty macho teenager. You know, I was playing baseball, and I was playing basketball, and I was all these things. And I went several years without crying, and I was sort of proud of that. You know, I'm not going to cry. And I came home from school one day, and I was talking to my mom, and she asked me a question. I gave her an answer that she thought was disrespectful. I didn't really mean it that way, but she said, "You better be careful how you speak to me, young man." And she said it just about that loud, which wasn't very loud, okay? But those words just smote my heart, because my mother thought I was smarting off to her and speaking back to her. And it broke my heart, and I started to cry. Because my mom thought I was sassing her, you know. And I'm just about to cry again thinking about it, okay. You know, my dad had drilled it into me, you don't ever speak disrespectfully to your mother. That was worthy of capital punishment in our house. You know, there is a difference between corporal punishment and capital punishment, okay. Corporal punishment was common. Capital punishment was reserved for the more severe things. Okay, but I don't think I'll ever forget how it bothered me. And I spent the next probably 10 minutes trying to persuade my mom. I didn't mean it the way it sounded to her. it broke my heart that she even thought I was trying to be disrespectful to her. I hear kids talking to their parents these days, yelling no at their parents and speaking hateful toward their parents. I see them turning their backs upon their parents. It's tragic when young people don't appreciate the love that a mother has. Oh yes, that mother's imperfect, but that love is just about as close to perfect as you can get in human experience. The real mother is willing to sacrifice . The pretend mother was willing to sacrifice too. She was willing to have the child sacrificed. But the real mother was willing to sacrifice her enjoyment of seeing her son grow up, her pleasure of knowing him. She was willing to sacrifice that for his sake. What a difference between the real mother and the pretend mother. And this third principle that I have follows that line of thinking, and that's this. A real mother sacrifices her own enjoyment for her child's well-being. You see, her pride is not important. It wasn't important that she be the winner in this court case. It was important to the pretend mother. She was willing to have the little baby cut in half so she wouldn't be the loser. But the real mother, it wasn't so important to her that she be declared the winner. Her pride wasn't that important. Her happiness wasn't that important. She would be willing to give up that boy and perhaps never see him again for the rest of his life if he could be spared. He wasn't there just for her. She was there just for him. But she didn't see him as being there just for her. So her pride wasn't important. Her happiness wasn't important. Her rights were not important to her. See, this was her actual son, and she had a right to keep him and raise him. But she was willing to give that up for his sake. You see, it was her child that was important to her. It was her child that was important. It seems in our society we have raised a whole generation of people who think life is all about themselves. It's all about me, what I want, what's convenient for me. And even young couples that are married think that children would be a hindrance to their careers or whatever. And if a little baby is conceived, they don't think twice about having that little baby murdered in the womb because the baby would be inconvenient. That's not the way a real mother looks at it. By the way, it's not the way a real dad looks at it either. But even these families that bring children into the world often, the parents don't bother to train children spiritually. They may think it's important that they learn a skill to get a job and make money, but far too often the spiritual character development, the most important thing, is overlooked by parents who don't have time for their kids. But with this real mother, the child is what's really important. And so she's willing to sacrifice her own enjoyment for the well-being of her child. You know, I thank God for a mother who was just this way. I, as a little boy growing up, never thought how inconvenient I was for my mom. That never entered my thinking. The messes I made that she cleaned up, all the food I ate that she cooked, how she adjusted her time schedule for my sake, how her whole life was altered because I was in the way. And when you're growing up, you don't think about those things. As a child, you don't think, you know, I used to keep Mom up half the night while I was sick, and I didn't think about that. That never bothered me for her sake, you know. Never thought about the sacrifices she made for me. And some of those things, I guess you never will understand but till you become parents yourselves, but we could all learn a greater gratitude for our parents. And we are commanded by God to honor our fathers and our mothers. We're commanded by God to do that. If we don't do that, we're sinning against God. And yet there's a whole generation of young people being reared in this country that don't have the slightest concept of that. You know, on this Mother's Day, I want to honor my own mother who is with the Lord. I'm thankful for her and for her influence in my life. I want to honor my wife. She's a wonderful mother. One of my daughters who's here today, I want to honor her too. I think she's a wonderful mother. I know that she's made many sacrifices for her children. That's just what moms do, real mothers. But I think every one of us ought to have an appreciation for that, but also to realize these things that characterize a real mom should characterize every one of us. Think of them again. First of all, she overcomes her flaws in order to fulfill responsibilities. None of us should flounder in the past, focused on sins that have kept us from being all we should be, but rather forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth toward those things, reaching forth to those things which are before. We should press toward the mark. We have responsibilities to fulfill. Let's don't let the sins of our flesh or spirit keep us from that. Let's find forgiveness. Let's grow in grace. And let's become what God wants us to be so that our past does not damage our children's future. We saw, secondly, that a real mother loves her child dearly. Every one of us ought to be loving people. Of family members, yes, but beyond the family. We ought to be loving people. And that's going to mean sacrificing our own enjoyment for the benefit of others. Are you this kind of Christian? Do the principles that characterize this real mother characterize you? Would you bow your heads, please? We'll close your eyes. We'll pray in a moment. But let me ask before we do pray, how many of you know for sure you've already accepted God's forgiveness from your sin, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, and if you were to die today, you know you'd go to heaven to be with God? If you know that for sure, would you raise your hand? Thank you. God bless you. You may put them down. If you raise your hand saying, I'm saved, I know that, are there some of these things that God has brought to your attention that convict you today? Maybe as a parent, you've slacked off on responsibilities. You can confess that as sin and get it right with God and change today. Maybe as a son or daughter, you've not had the attitude toward the parents that God gave you. You can confess that as sin and start over with a new slate today. Or maybe just as a Christian, you've not been the loving person investing yourself in the benefit of others spiritually. That too can be confessed as sin. I wonder if there might be some of you who'd say, Pastor, would you please pray for me? I know I'm saved, and yet God's convicted me about something specifically here today that I need to get right with Him. Would you raise your hand if that describes you today? Thank you. God bless you. Amen. And I wonder if there are some of you here who'd say, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I'd sure like to get that settled today. I don't want to go another day without being positive where I'll spend eternity. Please pray for me. Anyone like that, would you lift your hand? God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, for tender hearts, for folks who have responded and requested prayer. And I pray, Lord, that today these decisions might be settled for all eternity. Help us, Lord, to be real. And I pray that we'd not be pretend Christians, that we'd not be pretend dads, we'd not be pretend moms, but that we'd be real. And I pray you'd help each of us to allow you to wash away the sins of the past so that we might not see the future destroyed. And Lord, may you be glorified as this invitation is given, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.